through the winter's ice and cold, down Nicollet Avenue. A city aflame fought fire and ice 'neath an occupier's boots. King Trump's private army from the DHS, guns belted to their coats, came to Minneapolis to enforce the law, or so their story goes. Against smoke and rubber bullets, in the dawn's early light, citizens stood for justice, their voices ringing through the night. And there were bloody footprints where mercy should have stood, and two dead left to die on snow-filled streets, Alex Pretty and Renee Good. I hear your voice singing through the bloody mist. We'll take our stand for this land and the stranger in our midst. Here in our home they killed and roamed in the winter of 26. We'll remember the names of those who died on the streets of Minneapolis. Trump's federal thugs beat upon his face and his chest. Then we heard the gunshots, and Alex Pretty lay in the snow dead. Their claim was self-defense, sir. Just don't believe your eyes. It's our blood and bones and these whistles and phones against Miller and Noam's dirty lies. Oh, I'm Minneapolis, I hear your voice crying through the bloody mist. We'll remember the names of those who died on the streets of Minneapolis. They trample on our rights. If your skin is black or brown, my friend, you can be questioned or deported on sight. In our chance of ice out now, our city's heart and soul persist. Through broken glass and bloody tears on the streets of Minneapolis.
Sending us out to Minneapolis and all over the United States where travesty is happening, allegedly in our names, but no, not really, because our names and our people are saying no, not in our names. Not with our tax dollars. We're going to shut them down. Ice out. And I may get a chance to play you a song from 1999. Remember what happened then? Oh, yeah. The WTO right there in Seattle. So, didn't we? We can do it again, as long as we all stay together in nonviolence. We can show them and the children and the rest of the world how we really are and need to be and make peace. Also, of course, for many reasons, to the people of Sudan and Somalia and Venezuela and Greenland and Palestine and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, Haiti, and wherever violence is happening against people and the earth. We have a great antidote for you. My first folks are going to be sharing something with you, but first I do want to also send special healing wishes to Noel and Luann and Hope and Lisa and Janet and Karen, Reva, Kate, Gina, Ted, Mary Beth, Marietta, Jean and Carl, Tom, Peter, and you and me, because we all need healing, body, spirit, mind, and heart. And we get to celebrate as well. Tomorrow, we got some Brown's Meat happening. Triple whammy. We're celebrating Cheryl's 75th. Happy birthday, Cheryl. And Ellen Roan, 13. How did that happen? And Ned and Lulu, 47 years. And then some. Congratulations. Heather Christie has a birthday on Sunday. Bernie Berger. And stay well, Bernie. We're all thinking about you. And he shares a birthday with the fabulous Margaret Frimuth. Happy birthday to Margaret. Ann Feeney, whom you're going to hear a little later, is no longer with us in person, but she sure is in spirit and song. She set a great example. And people who are with us, Jeremy, well, sort of with us. I don't know where the Hirshes are these days, but old programmers. And Monica and Eve, happy birthday to all of you. So, my first guests indeed have some, I don't know how this happened, but extremely relevant and fabulous theater for you and me. And I can speak with experience because I actually got to slip in for a sneak peek. So I can assure you what the Constitution means to me if you're Heidi Schreck or a few other people by the end of the play, and you'll see how that works. My guests, I am delighted to have director Jenny Newton. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Carol.
Dr. Jenny Newton, who used to be here all the time. She's a busy woman. She taught the theater at the high school and leadership and all kinds of good stuff. And another totally familiar to many of us in the theater world, Brandy Hussa is here. And Brandy has, I would say one of the heaviest word loads I've ever heard. And it's fantastic. It's an amazing play. I'm going to let them tell you about it. And then new to me is Peter Curtis. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Brandy, did you say hello?
Hi, Carol. There. Hi, everybody else.
We want to make sure you are here. I mean, the radio folks need. Peter, is this your first time here?
This is my first time here, absolutely.
On KMUN also. How about on radio?
Not my very first time on radio. Okay. I've done a significant amount of theater back in Longview, Washington. I grew up in Rainier, Oregon, was a lifelong resident there. And I moved here about 6 months ago.
Okay.
Wow. And
no wonder I
recently found myself with a little bit too much free time looking for work again, and had to get myself back into the theater. So
okay.
I went to the first audition I could find, which happened to be for this show.
Well,
wonderfully.
I'm so lucky.
Absolutely. You are fabulous. And I thought, who is that man? Where did he come from? I've never seen him, never heard his name. And so it is a cast of three. And the third person is?
Autumn Phillips. She's a 19-year-old Astoria High School graduate and is also in the cast and has joined us as well.
Wonderful. Yeah, that was my first introduction to Autumn, too. But so now we're all local. Okay. First, let me just tell you, folks, this is a 10-15 theater production. It's the first in the this year's series. And I'm sure most of you locally know that the Oddfellows building took a hit in the storm, and the theater was part of that. So instead of the play being performed at the 10-15 Theater, which we love and will return to us, we are happy, I can say it worked beautifully, at the McTavish Room, the Liberty Theater, where we often did Reader's Theater in the past. And so tonight is the official opening night at 7:30. And am I correct that tomorrow is a matinee?
Tomorrow is a matinee. When we rescheduled things in the Liberty, we had to do a little shuffling. So tomorrow we've got a matinee and then an evening show at 6 o'clock on Sunday. So
okay,
there's a switch there.
So you really need to keep track. Or better yet, go to the 1015theater.com, and that's theater with E-R, and you can see all this. Get your tickets. There may be tickets at the door. It's in the McTavish Room, which means you go up on 12th Street and just south of the grand balcony. What is that called? The awning of the Liberty Theater, 12th and Commercial. It is also playing next week, Thursday at 7:30, and then Friday and Saturday at 7:30 as well. That's it. It is a 6-show run. So get your act together. And a little push for KMUN, I have to say it. Next Friday on the 6th of February is a very special community partnership night between the 1015 Theater and KMUN is the beneficiary this production, and it is a very generous gift. So if you're not sure when you want to go, check that out. Grab a ticket and come on over. Okay, I wrote down hilarious, hopeful, and achingly human new play. All of the above are true and a lot more. So Jenny, who's Heidi Schreck and where did this come from?
Well, Heidi Schreck is a national playwright, but she's from the Northwest, Wenatchee, Washington, begin with. She attended University of Oregon, so she's an Oregon graduate. And in fact, local Karen Bain was her acting teacher. So we have some connections locally. But she wrote this play, or this play went on Broadway in 2019. It was a finalist for the Pulitzer. It sold out on Broadway, and it was an Obie Award winner. And she wrote into the script, go ahead and ad lib in some things to keep it timely. And right now, able to ad lib in some things to keep it timely, even though it was already incredibly timely.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you, because I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
And yes, it was definitely, I was thinking, wow, really? And then that last part, too. Okay. So, Brandy, did you, like, as Peter said, he was ready. So he went to his first audition. Is that how it worked for you? Or did you spot this play and go, oh, God, that's mine?
I first saw, when the season came up, I saw that Jenny was directing this play. And I have always wanted to work with Jenny in that yes. capacity. We've acted together many mm-hmm. times, but I've never been directed by her. And so that made me look into the play. I actually watched the Broadway version, which is on Amazon Prime, and fell in love with the script. And I have not done theater in a very long time.
Yeah.
And to jump back in, I had done a Reader's Theater in December. But to jump back in fully memorizing and stuff, I thought, there's no way I can do this. But I couldn't stop thinking about it. And my husband, Jason, encouraged me to just audition, Brandy. That's all you need to do. And the more I have gotten to work on this show, the more I am blown away by the script. It is so incredibly well constructed, so thoughtful, so personal.
Mm-hmm.
I love the script, and so by the time we got to auditions, I felt like maybe I was meant to do this.
I felt that way. Watching, I said, oh my God, this is yours. But I was blown away because I know, I know my brain is gone. And you're a lot younger, but you have been away from theater. And this is powerful and moving and funny and boom, boom, boom. It goes places and it goes quickly. And I was really impressed. So I'd forgotten about the Pulitzer Prize, though. Let's get
finalist,
real, folks.
Finalist.
That's Pulitzer Prize finalist.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing, I'm sure. Now, Peter, had you read the script?
I had not. I have a tendency to go into auditions blind.
Okay.
I prefer it that way for various reasons. It makes the experience very immediate.
Mm-hmm.
You're not giving any prototypical reads. You don't have time to do that, so you just have to grab the material, and that makes my process work better when I do that. Then, of course, once you get a part, you have to tear the script apart and really come to understand it and work out exactly what decisions you're making for your character, which has been a joyous process. And I just really want to thank Jenny for being a fantastic director. First time I've ever worked with her, of course. First time I ever met her. So it's been a really rewarding experience.
Really. Well, as I said, you present, I questioned my, I thought, has this guy been in this town all along doing a job somewhere? Because you are so perfect for this piece. And the way you and Brandy go back and forth also, and the facials, this is one of the beauties, I must say, in this theater, and again, I love the 10-15, and it is intimate and warm. And I, because I'm short and my ears aren't what they used to be, I always sit close. But here, we are horizontal. Everybody gets to see and hear and be close up and enjoy these subtle moves. I wondered, Brandy, for example, when you step out of your role.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that part of the script?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And but at some point you say, I'm Brandy. And I went, wait, who is this Heidi Schreck? Does she know Brandy? What's going on? So it begins to. Why you took this play on? We've been in a constitutional mess for a long time. Right now, the crisis is greater than ever. But I wonder, did any of the three of you ever have intimate thoughts, as Heidi did, with the Constitution, the actual Constitution of the United States of America? Is that something that you spent time on?
Well, I had this experience in the eighth grade, mm-hmm. where our eighth grade teacher, history teacher, had us do a debate about whether to adopt the Constitution or not.
Oh.
And I was assigned to not have us adopt the Constitution.
Oh, wow.
And so my dad, yes. Heidi's dad helps her prepare in this show. My dad helped me prepare for this in-class debate. I argued my little heart out. but, of course, we still agreed to adopt the Constitution in the class.
Yeah, that was kind of you.
But really, other than that, not too much. I kind of take it for granted.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel now?
There is so much to learn and so much to understand. There's so much that is in our Constitution, and there is so much that we assume is in our Constitution that is not. I've been telling Jenny that I really wish that we had had more time. You know, auditions for this were in sort of like mid-December. Ooh. And I wish that we had had 3 months to just delve deeper and read all of the reading list. Heidi has in the back of the script a huge reading list that she had her cast read. I think it took her 10 years to write this play.
Oh, wow.
And she was passionate about the Constitution at 15. At 15, I mean, Jenny and I were doing Little Mary Sunshine.
Yeah.
So
I marveled at that, too. I did not know she was an Oregonian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I wish we had had more time to delve into that, but it's something that I really am excited about. I'm excited to help educate people a little bit while we're doing comedy.
Yeah. It's quite a combination of education, enlightenment, and as it says, hilarious. And that's partly in the performances, as well as the interactions. Peter, did you ever have an interest in the Constitution?
I have been fascinated, off and on, fascinated by politics, which is foundationally informed by constitutional law. And so some of that has been a deep fascination with constitutional law. But the reality of our society and our times means that I have been steadily falling out of love with the Constitution since my early 20s. It's a long process of disillusionment and disappointment. In what still foundationally is a very good document. The laws themselves are excellent, if we would only apply them intelligibly.
Yeah. Folks, this is the first time. I don't even know how old Peter is. I don't know if he has a day job. He's looking for a job. I don't know any of this stuff. And I don't really care, because he's so fabulous that it's been... Now, they are giggling at me, and I don't even know
why.
We
have had a treat getting to know Peter, too.
Oh,
we've said all the same things you're saying right now. We also thought Peter was way younger than he actually is, too. So he's an enigma in his own right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 45.
Okay. I don't even know if he's serious, but you'll find out, folks. The important thing is that you get yourself to this play, supporting local theater, of course. I wrote this down, and I wasn't sure that Heidi Schreck resurrects her teenage self this is the playwright, resurrects her teenage self to trace the profound relationship between or among four generations of women and the founding document that shaped their lives. So just think about it. And many of us have gotten closer than we want, as Peter is kind of intimating, with the Constitution recently. Here's a way to get close and personal, have a great time, and appreciate wonderful theater. Jenny, are you glad you chose this play?
I'm glad I chose the play. I'm even more glad I chose to work with this cast.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad to be back in theater in the community here.
And so. I am thrilled. We all are.
I also wanted to give a shout out to Danielle and the 1015 Theater for choosing their lineup this year. This is the 250th anniversary of our country, and they have chosen a lineup that is called America the Beautiful.
Yeah.
And
with a question mark, folks.
Yes. And they're examining some things that are really critical in our country right now, and I feel very, very honored that we are kicking off this season. I think it's really brave of her to do this, to do this.
I think it's quite wonderful. Go to the1015theater.com. Check out whatever you want. And in the meantime, do you know if they'll be selling tickets at the door?
They are selling tickets at the door as well.
Okay. So if you don't get your ticket online, just come over to the Liberty Theater. Just walk up 12th Street or down, whatever you want to call it, south towards, it's on the corner of Commercial and 12th. So just a tiny bit towards Duane, and you will see the entrance. Go upstairs to the beautiful McTavish Room and be transported. Tonight, 7:30. Tomorrow, that's Saturday the 31st, at 3:30, matinee. Sunday, the 1st of February, 6 p.m. And then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. with a KMUN benefit on Friday the 6th. And maybe I'll see some of you there. I'll be there tonight. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Carol.
Break a leg.
Thank you.
Be careful. Congratulations, Jenny.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're safe. And I'm so proud of all of you and so thrilled to have you back in the theater. We got two returning and one new. And I'm not sure about our young woman.
She's going to be transferring from Clatsop up to PSU in the fall. So.
Okay.
And she's done a lot of theater at Astoria High School.
Yes. Right. Beautiful. Thanks so much. Jenny Newton, Dr. Jenny Newton, the director of What the Constitution Means to Me by Heidi Schreck. Brandi Husa, Heidi Schreck herself, sort of at times. And Peter Curtis, what's the name of your...
The character is Legionnaire.
There
and,
you go.
And also Danny.
There you go. Double whammy. And Autumn Phillips will be there as well. Thanks to the 1015. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And some music from Anne Feeney. I mentioned that it is her birthday. I celebrate her no matter what. So let's hear from Anne Feeney on KMUN, Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook.
Ya basta, enough is enough. Ya basta, enough is enough. You ask why are we angry, I say look at history. The cause of all our troubles, it is not a mystery. There are those whose lives are easy, there are those whose lives are rough. Now is the time for us to rise and cry out, enough is enough. Enough borders, enough nations, enough corporate exploitation, enough racist air pollution, enough racist institutions, enough chains, enough cages, enough starvation wages, enough highways, gas stations, thieving corporations, we won't take it anymore. Yeah, this is class war. off. Bring us closer to the day when we cry out, enough is enough. Enough greedy politicians, enough gender old traditions, enough hierarchies, enough of living on our knees, enough gouging of the planet, enough destruction of the earth, enough tearing of our flesh to see what the insides might be worth, or we won't take it anymore. Yeah, this is class war. We'll fight you in the streets and we will dance at your defeat. Ya basta! Ya basta! Now all around the world, the people are fighting back. Each day another shard of the system starts to crack. In Argentina and Chiapas, with our rage and with our love, the people are crying out, enough is enough! Enough war and occupation, enough propaganda stations, enough enforced reality, enough police brutality, enough nuclear arms and enough factory farms, enough stolen women's choices, enough silenced women's voices. We won't take it anymore. Yeah, this is class war. We'll fight you in the streets and we will dance at your defeat. Ya basta.
Ya basta. Ya basta. It is enough. Enough. It's way beyond enough. It's too much. Too much. Thank you to Ann Feeney. Huh. And thank you to Kelly Ragsdale, who came all the way from Longview. Is that right?
That's correct.
Do you actually live?
I do.
In Longview.
I do.
Yeah. Well, Kelly is, you know, those of us around here, when you say the Columbia Theater, or is it the Columbian Theater? And how do you spell that anyway? Well, that's because in Astoria, we have the Columbian Theater. And in Longview, we have the Columbia Theater. And it is the Columbia Theater Association for the Performing Arts, CTPA. And do you know when that theater was built?
Actually, yeah, it was 1925. So and the Liberty celebrated our 100 years in 2025.
Right.
So.
And it is, how many seats do you have?
800.
800. Okay. That's ironic because the Liberty, when they redid the seats, cut down, I guess, for those of us who've got bottoms. And so
we did too, actually.
You did too?
Yeah, because originally we were a 1,200 seat venue.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
We lost about 400 seats as well.
So Longview was going to be the city. We call it Vision City ourselves for Longview. but the theater is quite beautiful. And the amazing, I counted, Kelly, between January 31st, that's tomorrow, and March 22nd, that's under 2 months, you've got 10 fantastic shows. Do you do that all the time?
No, we actually, some of those are renters. Some of them, of course, are the shows that we're presenting.
Yes.
We have some fabulous shows we're presenting. And then different series. Like, for instance, tomorrow we have the Stage Door series, which you've been to.
Yes, yes, with Carrie Newcomer.
It's yes.
Fabulous. Yeah. And so that is right on stage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's delightful. What is tomorrow night?
So tomorrow night we have Tian Shea, who's a fantastic classical pianist who really makes classical music come alive. Very much, very engaging, very story orientated. Mm-hmm. So you really learn some different things. And it's really like being right there, you know, because you are right there. And she just really brings that to life.
Yeah, and she is another huge award winner. Very highly acclaimed pianist. I'm going to ask you about another one I read about, too. I don't know if it's a rental or yours, but first, you've been there how long?
25 years?
Wait.
Too long?
wait. Not as the managing director.
No. I've been as the managing director 5 years now, I think.
Okay.
Right during COVID. Right the great time you wanted to do that. It was,
a
bit crazy.
A little slow on the theater. Because, was it Jean-Paul?
Yes, Jean-Paul Morelli.
Right, was there before.
Yes.
I knew it couldn't be that long ago. So, but you were working at the theater?
Yes, I was actually the technical director at the for many years.
Oh, well,
I've always had various roles. And
did you grow up?
No, I'm from Alaska.
Whoa.
So, no. Yep. Oh, I found myself in Longview. I was actually working for WSU and at the college.
Okay, right.
And then I started being involved at the theater, and that's how I kind of ended up in Longview.
So have you used your tech skills as managing director?
Yes, more than I want to. I thought maybe I wouldn't have to do that. That's silly me.
Yeah, right. Now, once they know she's got the skills, don't let her off the hook, of course. But, okay, so the theater is, I have to admit, I had a hard time finding it. It's kind of tucked back in there. It's not like on the main street of Longview. Is there a queue that you can give us? Or
it's on Vandercook. It's actually at the end of Downtown Commerce, which is the original storefront, original stores of Downtown Longview. Really neat area.
Mm-hmm.
It is off the highway. It's not too bad to find now, and we've done some substantial renovations, so it's a little bit more prominent when you're driving down in that area that you could see that. So
people like me,
yes,
get lost easily, but it's a beautiful theater, and I've been there for several different shows. Actually, I still have a bottle of beer I got from one show.
Oh, did you?
What was that?
Was it one of the Irish ones? It has a beer label.
Special artist beer.
Yeah, which
it
one?
It was wonderful.
Oh,
and
gosh.
The beer. It was like, holy cow, what are they doing? Okay, well, you have a quote on the webpage that I really appreciate. Art enables us to find ourselves and lose ourselves at the same time. Thomas Merton.
Yes.
You don't usually see that on a theater page. So I felt that says so much for this incredible production all year round, giving to the community. Do you find most of your patrons are local folks, or they come from outside, or how does that work for you?
Both. The majority are local. With our arts education program, we reach about 5 counties. Clatsop as well, even Pacific County.
What's the arts education program?
So we do different. Well, we have a rainy month series for youth, and then we also have camps. And we bring in different productions as well. We did one, The Children of Willesden Lane, a few years ago, and try to get that into the schools, and so try to really bring that. And then we started teaching some in two of the more rural elementary schools, because, of course, arts are always one to get cut, and so we've been trying to kind of fill that niche by going into the schools also and teaching about the importance, and all different genres of theater and, how that works
Who do you have? Who does that?
Me.
Oh, okay.
I don't do the teaching, though.
Okay.
I will do some teaching if I have to. But we have a wonderful person, Taylor Freeman, who's actually now the drama teacher at R.A. Long High School. Was very instrumental in getting into the schools and helping expand that education and bring the arts to the kids.
That's terrific. And especially right there. You've got, talk about rural schools, you've got them on both sides, all over. And nice that you service Oregon as well as Washington.
Yes, and Columbia County is really, is also, we consider our primary market as well as Cowlitz County.
Well, we always say the river brings us together, it doesn't separate. The taxes do, but the river certainly doesn't. So I read, I was just scanning, because I was like, it goes on and on and on, all these productions. And I saw one called Cirque Mechanics. What yes. is that? It looked fabulous.
Oh, it's incredible. Chris Lashua, who's the artistic director, and we've worked with him before. He actually had created some of his shows at the Pantages Theater in Tacoma many years ago.
Uh-huh.
So it's, and he's originally a Cirque du Soleil
that's
person.
Yeah.
And then he designs all these different performances, and it's always based on something mechanical. It's industrial. One year he had a giant flight piece, a wheel that would fly and spin, and that's a focal point. One time it's a, you know, in this one it's the Ferris wheel, or there's always one piece
moving.
And then moving, and the story will center around that as well as the characters around that particular.
So there is a story to go with it,
yes.
too. And, yeah, I read that this, I meant to have it open so I could read the quote, saying that this Cirque Mechanics is second only to Cirque du Soleil.
Yes.
And I thought, whoa, and yes. it's coming to your theater.
And it is. And it's a big deal. You know, it takes a few days to set up.
Yeah.
It's really, yeah. It's yeah, very involved, but so worth it. And
yeah.
it's a show very unique. You won't, you know, it, I recommend you see it anywhere, wherever you're at, if you have a chance. It's definitely
so
one not to miss.
In Longview at the Columbia Theater, it is coming on March 13th. Now, how do people, what's the website? I went, actually, I've got it here. Columbia Theater with an RE.com. Simple as that.
Yes.
And then it's got everything on it.
It does.
And people can buy tickets there as well?
People can buy tickets online. Also, if you like to save online fees, if you call mm-hmm. our box office number, also on the website directly,
right.
It'll be, there's no online fees or credit card fees. So
oh,
if you.
That's very good information.
Yes, yes. I always like to say that.
It,
so.
It's true because,
yes.
yeah, we get hit with those huge fees and it's like, okay. So this is the Columbia Theater Association for the Performing Arts, 1231 Vandercook, one word, Vandercook Way, and in Longview, 98632. And the thing about the city of Longview was it was designed in a way, the streets, that main street is just so wide. It's very unusual.
It is.
And problem is it. Well, it's not a problem, actually. It didn't go crazy and blow up, but it's still, this theater is a gem. There's lots more there to check out, but this is a good, quote, excuse to go to Longview. It's not that far away.
That's right.
And you can check out everything on the website and pick what you want or pick several, and get a group of people, best way to go. Anything else people should know about?
I think, you know, also if they want to come get a tour, you can schedule,
oh,
you know, call
okay.
and schedule a historic tour. We're always happy to show off the theater as well. And yeah, do check us out online. We even have a Wizard of Oz on ice. We'll be having ice skating on the stage. So we do a lot of very different things.
When this coming?
In April.
Okay, because that was, okay, that's beyond. I only went as far as March 22nd. I was blown away. Seriously, I wrote 10 shows in less than 2 months. Big shows.
Big shows.
Not little shows. So, but they're usually just one night.
Usually just one night.
Yeah, so you really have to check it out. And don't go, oh, man, last week.
Right, yes, that does happen.
It does. Kelly, thank you so much. And I'm delighted I did not know about your tech background. I wondered where you suddenly came from. Now I understand. They bred you to be perfect person here at the theater. Kelly Ragsdale, great name too, Managing Director of the Columbia Theater Association for the Performing Arts in Longview, Washington. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thanks, Carol.
And I have one more song for you. And this is from Jim Page of Seattle. Says it all. KMUN Astoria.
be wrong, but I ain't about to just tag along behind somebody with a bankroll hanging out telling me what I can't sing about. So let's take our coats back. Let's take our coats back. Get the monkey off of your back and take our coats back. They got the radio. They got the TV screen. They got the great muddy waters of the mainstream with the dollar bill hitting on every word. You're never gonna get your message heard over some little buddy with an extra buck can buy a transmitter and try their luck. Pirate airwaves, democracy. Now that seems like a good idea to me. So let's take our coats back. Let's take our coats back. Let me get the monkey off of your back and take our coats back. Hollywood spectacle and promenade. Think of all that money just waiting to be made. And all you gotta do is go, and you'll be sitting up pretty on Gangster's Row. It ain't smart to be misled by some Beavis and Butthead. You could have your hip Seattle slack, or just give me a good computer hacker. Let's take our coats back. Let's take our coats back. And get the monkey off of your back and take our coats back. Break it out, you gotta be outside to know what I'm talking about. Two heads, a million eyes, and we can break this thing right down to size. Now culture is a weaponry, and all great humanity, and survival is a counterattack. So let's take our culture back. Let's take our culture back. Let's take our culture back. And get the monkey off of your back and take our culture back.
Take our culture back. Take our streets back. Take our compassion back. Let's get back to being who we know we can be. And look at here. I've got Overture Overdrive, which, who came up with that title? I love it. Is that Terry?
Sorry, wait.
Yes, Terry Dahlgren, who is the conductor these days, although I have with me today John Hammond, who has been with the North Coast Symphonic Band how many years?
Oh, about 22.
Yeah, okay. And John is the board vice president. He's also the associate conductor. And have you been in that role all along?
No, but for quite a while, though.
And you are going to be conducting one of the pieces.
Yeah, one piece.
Yeah. So did Terry choose all the pieces, too, or did the band get to?
He pretty well comes up with the program.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. He does run it by the board, but right, it's his choice, finally.
Well, it's interesting because there's a lot of names here I've never heard of. It's Overture, Broadway Showstoppers Overture. Now, I'm a Broadway person, but where are the rest of these overtures coming from?
Well, I probably should explain what an overture is.
Before you do that, let me just introduce my second guest, who is brand new to me. This is so exciting. I have two brand new people today. Robbie Carr is the percussion section leader, and he's the North Coast Symphonic Band board secretary. Oh, wait a minute. I did write a note.
Oh.
You're part of that family.
That family indeed.
He's part of the musical Strecker clan.
That's right.
Okay.
I am the married-in husband, of the youngest daughter. Her name is Julia.
Okay. That gives us a little bit of orientation. Yeah. Okay, now back to you, John. Tell us Overture.
Well, in music, there's really two kinds of overture. There's the kind that is the prelude to like a musical show, and we're actually playing one of those in the Light Cavalry Overture. But the other kind is strictly in band sense, It's a form where it's fast, slow, fast.
So
that's what we're playing.
Okay, that makes more sense. I was picturing all the overtures from all the shows that I know so well. And then I looked at these names. Warren Barker, Alfred Reed, Mr. Guama, mm-hmm. Duryea?
I believe it's Duryea.
Yes. Charles Carter, Randall Standridge, I don't know any of these people. So,
but they're all really well-known band composers.
Yes, they are.
Right.
Yeah.
And will we recognize some of this music, too?
If you have played in bands, yes. Well, and of course you'll recognize like Cavalry Overture. And if you're not too terribly young, you probably will know the tunes in Broadway Showstoppers.
Yeah.
I understand that some of the young people in our band don't know these songs.
Oh, how sad.
So they're learning.
How about you, Robbie? Do you know?
I know at least a couple of them. Okay. I've gone through and listened to the rest just to, you know, become well acquainted.
Right. Well, some of us grew up on Broadway, and that's our pablum there. So which one are you going to be conducting?
I'm doing the Symphonic Overture by Charles Carter, which this piece is a really cool piece. The more I study it, the more it makes sense. But Charles Carter, this piece by Charles Carter is one of the band standards that good bands play.
Has North Coast Symphonic Band played all of these before, none of these before, or what?
Some of them, yes.
Okay. And Robbie, are you new to the band?
Yeah, so I'm relatively new. This is actually my second season. So this will be my fifth concert coming up, playing with the group. But before I moved up here with my wife, I was actually a band director myself over in Newport. And so it's been such a blessing to come over to this community and still get to play in band because I work over at Freet & Scoop. I'm one of the part owners there. So
gee, what a surprise.
Right, being a part of that family. So
right.
So it's been such a blessing to stay involved with music here.
Absolutely. Yeah. May I ask, how old are you, Robbie?
I just turned 29 not too long ago. So.
How do you get to be a band director at 29?
Well,
what's your background in music?
Yeah, so I got very into, so I'm a percussion player now, right? But I started as a trumpet player in middle school and didn't really take to it that much. All my friends quit. So going into high school, you know, I decided that, hey, you know, this drumming thing sounds really fun. So I just signed up and I happened to go to a really strong music high school, and then I fell in love with it so much, I went and studied at a college at the University of Oregon.
Okay.
And I got my first job at 23, which was Newport middle and high school band and choir is what I taught over there.
You didn't grow up in Newport, though.
I did not. I'm from Salem.
Okay. But they hired you.
That's right.
They saw your credentials, and they heard you drum, and they said, we'll take them.
That's right. I feel very fortunate. I've done a lot of cool stuff. You know, if you've ever heard of the Oregon Ambassadors of Music, I've gone on Europe tours with them.
Nice.
And done all kinds of fun things.
Nice. John, when you were 29, what were you doing in the music world?
I was teaching.
Where did you teach?
Well, I taught a whole lot of places. I started off at Colton, then I went to the Nestucca. No, then I went to the Neoconi District, taught there a couple years. And then I went to, I quit there and got my master's in the University of Nebraska. And then I went to the Nestucca District, then I went to Tillamook and finished up at Warrenton.
So, right, because you were at Warrenton. So, were you teaching music? Was there a band at the school?
Most of that time I taught both band and choir.
So there was. Okay.
The job in the Nestucca District was a K-8, so I did elementary music too.
Well, I'm one of those heavy, heavy proponents for music and all of the arts in all of the schools.
Right.
And sadly, as you know, often it's cut. Astoria is good. Astoria holds strong because we've got advocates here. Right. And we've got groups like the North Coast Symphonic Band so that kids can see, wow, look at that guy up there. Look at that guy playing drums.
Right.
He doesn't look much older than I am. And it encourages, I think, a lot of young people to stick with it. You have some high school kids in the band, don't you?
Usually we have a few. I think we only have one right now.
Yeah, I think it's just Kylie.
They do things like graduate, go right. away. What a concept. Okay, so what do you think about this? I love the title, though. Overture, Overdrive. Are you enjoying...
Oh, absolutely.
All of these overtures. I really appreciate that you educated me. I should have looked it up in the dictionary. Never occurred to me that overture could be anything but a Broadway style.
Yeah. One of the unique things that I love about our director, Terry Dahlgren, is he always has these themed concerts, right?
Yes.
Each concert we do has a very specific theme. And through the performance of our pieces, it actually educates our audience as to what is an overture and things right. like that. And so it's such a pleasure to play in the band, but also, you know, learn all these valuable skills along the way.
And I understand that Brian Bergman is going to be the MC. He's right. the board prez. So we got the whole staff here. The fun thing is that between Brian with his somewhat corny, fabulous sense of humor, and Terry with his outrageous sense of humor. These concerts are not only professional and beautiful and educational and exciting, they're also a lot of fun because there's a spirit that comes with the North Coast Symphonic Band. Well, we are just about out of time. Is there anything...
Well, I would like to invite people to be sure and be there by 1:30.
Right.
Because the North Coast Brass Quintet is going to be doing the prelude, and I have not heard them, but I know the people in that group, and they're quite good.
Who's in that?
Well, let's see. We have Josiah Glazer. Playing
tuba.
Tuba.
Oh, okay.
Trombone is Brian Bergman. And French horn is Jackson Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two trumpets are Brian Woolsey and Bob Latore.
Oh, boy.
All fantastic players.
All fantastic players.
Many of them great friends of ours, too.
And so it's true. Get there before 1:30 so you can find your seat and enjoy the prelude before the concert. And the whole thing is going to be quite delightful. Thank you so much for coming. It's great to meet you, Robbie, and always good to see you, John. Robbie Carr, percussion section leader, North Coast Symphonic Band board secretary, and John Hammond, North Coast Symphonic Band board VP and associate conductor. And have a great concert.
Well,
folks,
thank you.
What's your website?
Yeah, it's going to be... I believe it's just the North Coast Symphonic Band.
If you just website. Type that in,
yeah,
North Coast Symphonic Band, I think it's the only one. Okay, it is time for me to let you go. Thanks for being here, both of you, and thanks to you, audience. And don't forget.
This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and streaming live at KMUN.org.
Don't forget to stay active.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.